What's going on, ladies and gents? I'm Billy Donnelly, and I'm getting old quickly. Welcome back here to a brand new episode of the podcast. For those of you who have been here before, well, you kind of know the drill. You know what we're all about, and you know what we're shooting for here. But for anybody who's coming in for the first time, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard our journey of self-discovery and introspection, of self-reflection and self-improvement. Basically, working on ourselves, doing what we can, so we're better tomorrow than we were today, and we're better today than we were yesterday. I'm kind of at a loss, as you can tell, a little bit, heading into this week's episode, because I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to talk about. There were a number of things sort of rattling around in my head. And I'm kind of going to go a little bit off into left field, because there's something I do want to discuss at this moment in time. It's very concerning to me, and it's something that I think we really need to talk about, so that either people are aware that it's happening, or that people can sort of really investigate and explore their belief systems, the belief systems around them, the belief systems of people they know. And I'm talking about cults. You know, I didn't think that I would get to a point of doing this podcast where I was like, man, we're going to have to talk about cults one day. Well, that day is here, and we're going to talk about it, because I hate to break it to you, but the cults are real, man. Like, they're really out there. And they're really existing. And they're really drawing people in. And it's more people than you would ever believe. And cults have been sort of a point of fascination for me for a long time. Not because I want to be in one. And not because I want to start one, but really because I always have been fascinated, consumed to a degree, by what draws someone into a cult. What lures someone into a cult inside this mentality, into this belief system where all logic and reason that a somewhat intelligent person would have is just abandoned, just recklessly abandoned completely to buy into whatever they're being fed. And what I've come to figure out and decipher over time is that the cult offers them answers of some sort. No matter how off the wall they are, the cult is confident in the answers that they offer that the willing participant, let's call them, I guess, buys into that because of the confidence of the answer. Because if this person is so sure that they know these things, perhaps I'm missing something. And they second guess and they doubt their own logic and their own reason to buy into someone else's confidence. It's a sales pitch to a degree. They're buying into a sales pitch. Whether it's a car or knives or whatever, they're buying into a sales pitch. And a good salesman who's confident in their ability to sell has someone on the line to buy their line of nonsense. And usually in these situations, you know, the willing participant is looking for something. You know, they're trying to fill a void. They're looking for answers. They're feeling lost. And what the cult provides to them with this sort of confident sales pitch is meaning. Something meaningful. Meaningful answers. Meaningful direction. Meaningful guidance. Something to help push them in a way where they feel purpose and they feel as if they're doing something that now has meaning. And what winds up happening is the cult preys on the insecure. The cult preys on those who lack confidence. The cult preys on those with incredible self-doubt. And the cult preys on those who don't trust their own intelligence, their own knowledge, their own belief system. Now, why do I bring this up? You know, why? I'm sure you're like, Billy, why cults today, this week, now? You know, and what does that have to do with sort of self-reflection and introspection and all the other things that we typically talk about throughout each episode, episode in, episode out here on the podcast? And it's really because this is spreading very quickly. And it's important to me to address this before things get too far out of hand, to the best of my ability, and encourage you to trust what you know and what you believe so that you don't need to seek out the con. So that you don't need to look for answers that feel like they might make sense, but then definitely don't. You know, and I bring it up because I've had my first encounters over the last few days with the cults. Which is strange, because you would never think, man, I wonder what today is going to bring. And then, you know, have it be cults. But over the last few days, I have had some encounters, some run-ins, with some QAnon believers. Let me tell you, that's been a trip. Now, for those, you know, for people who don't know what that is, QAnon is basically this very large conspiracy theory that, you know, and it stretches far and wide and goes into a wide array of areas. But at its core, its main belief is that elites and Democrats are behind an underground child trafficking sex ring. And, you know, on its face right there, you can sort of, you could see why one would sort of write this off. What? What are you talking about? How would anyone believe that that's a thing? Well, let me take it a step further for you. They believe that Joe Biden is involved. They of course think the Clintons are involved. Then Christy Teigen is involved. And Tom Hanks is involved. You know, this is like, if you thought the idea of like Beyonce ruling the Illuminati was something to sort of make your head spin, well, here we go. And the crazy part about it is that, the FBI has actually identified this as a potential domestic terrorist threat. Because it has led to violence, this cult conspiracy theory. And I mean, and that's what it is. Everyone wants to call it a conspiracy theory, and they've sort of, you know, which sort of writes it off as just the crazies. The crazy people think this. But you would be surprised, shocked even, to know how widespread this is. And I know, because I've seen it. And I would like to think that I'm not a person who would typically know others who would subscribe to the belief system of a cult. But I've seen it. I saw it volunteering for political campaign, like I told you I'd been doing. Sending out texts, getting texts back, asking me, what about the child sex trafficking ring? You know, there are people out there who believe this. They're right in line with people who believe that 9/11 was an inside job. They're right in line with people who think that Sandy Hook was a staged event. And they go further and further deep down the rabbit hole. Right in line with people who believe that vaccines cause autism. It doesn't, by the way. And just a couple years back, it led to a man from right here in North Carolina traveling up to the Washington, D.C. area armed. And discharging a firearm inside of a pizza place that he believed housed a child sex trafficking ring beneath the pizzeria. What are we doing? What are we doing? And, you know, yes, there's this, it's easy to write these things off as, well, they're just conspiracy theories. But conspiracy theories, the more they spread and the more people that buy into them, become incredibly dangerous. And the more people that buy into them, the more people that abandon the logic and the reason and the knowledge that they have, looking to try to get answers, that makes up a cult. And there are no good cults. Cults, by their very definition, are bad. You know, when we used to use cults as sort of a joking thing. You know, because who would get wrapped up in a cult? I mean, hell, I got an iPhone, got iPads in my house. iMac right now. Got MacBooks throughout my house. Wasn't always a believer in the Mac product. But I got Macs all around my house. Wouldn't have it any other way. Not going Android. Not going to be one of those green bubble people. It's not happening for me. And when you have people that wrapped in it, you know, we refer to it as the cult of Mac. Because people are that in on what Apple provides, what Apple creates. But we're not hurting anybody. We just like what they have. And we wouldn't change it. It's not really a cult. You can say it in a joking manner, but it's not really a cult. We're not sacrificing people for the benefit of Steve Jobs' memory and ghost. You know, when I do my exercise, when I work out, I got a Peloton in my house. I kind of dig what they're all about. They're positive reinforcement. Some people joke, it's like a cult. It's not really hurting anybody. Bought a bike and I have a subscription to take classes. Now, if they're telling me I gotta give them more money to take other classes and level up, well, now I'm gonna start to question it. Because I know where we're going. And I feel like it's problematic. You know, there's a great documentary on HBO right now. Not documentary, it's a docu-series. It's called The Vow. It's based off of the NXIVM sex cult. And I find it fascinating because of the fact that it feeds my fascination with cults. And getting into the mindset of people as they buy in, as they defend, as they abandon their logic and reason, and what happens in the aftermath of that when they realize what it is that they're a part of. And some people don't. Some people don't, and they just defend to the end. You know, Scientology is a perfect example. We're not getting Tom Cruise back. I don't think. But it starts to build why the cult has such a strong hold on everyone at some point. Because what the cult does is the cult completely envelops you in everything it's all about. And it becomes all-encompassing in your whole life. I mean, it permeates through everything that you do. How you think about things, how you talk about things, how you go about your actions, your belief system. And no matter what data, no matter what evidence is presented to you that may say, hey, this is not on the level to question something that you have given yourself over to so thoroughly, then calls upon you to completely collapse your entire life. Because once again, it's this very symbiotic relationship. You know, the cult spreads through you. It's in your blood. And so for you to try to cast that out of yourself. It would basically mean that everything about you at that moment in time is a lie. Because of how it informs your current existence. Once again, what you believe, how you talk about things, how you think about things, your actions. And so it's easier for people to just keep going. Because admitting that you got suckered, admitting that you've got taken, is a hard thing for a lot of people to do. People don't like to admit that they're wrong as it is. I mean, think about your own life. Think about the number of times that you've been called to the mat by anybody because you were wrong. You know, we could soften it. Misinformed, maybe. But whatever your stance was, whatever your belief was, whatever your idea was, whatever your thought was incorrect. Admitting that you are incorrect, admitting that you are wrong, it's always a hard pill to swallow. And some of that is on meaningless things. Things that don't even really matter. Yes, you are wrong about that, but nobody likes to admit that they were wrong. Now think about admitting that you are wrong about something on such a grand level that it basically crumbles everything that you are about. It's tough. It's hard, and I get it, and I empathize with that, and I sympathize with those people. It's hard to get out once you're in, once it has its tentacles wrapped around you, once the claws are dug into your life. But you know better. You know better. And so it's better to admit when something is wrong, having learned such, than doubling down on your wrongness. You know, I got into it with somebody not long before I started recording this podcast today. Got into it on social media with somebody. And I've also seen this in the last few days. I've gotten into it a couple of times with people. And there's a movie on Netflix right now called Cuties. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. And it is a narrative film that really sort of critiques the over-sexualization of teens and kids. And, you know, it kind of feeds into the idea that we've seen before with, you know, child beauty pageants and toddlers and tiaras and like all these other things that are out there that try to grow our kids up way too fast in a way that puts them in sexualized positions. And I don't mean sexualized as in like in their having sex, but in ways that they're viewed in a sexual nature. And what I've seen in the last few days, really, it has taken hold. And this is sort of a movement that has been pushed by QAnon. Once again, conspiracy theory, cult mentality. That the film supports and advocates for pedophilia. And that it glorifies the sexualization of children and teens. that it's child pornography in a number of ways. All of which, by the way, are not true. And all claims that are made by people who haven't seen the movie. And they'll tell you, I don't have to see the movie. I just know. No, they don't. They don't know. They say, well, I've seen clips. Clips that are not in the context of the movie. Clips that are isolated on their own to perpetuate some type of agenda. You know, and I had this conversation with somebody who typically would know better. I've seen them. I used to believe that they knew what they were talking about. And what they told me was that I was being manipulated by the media. At the very same time, they were telling me that they hadn't seen the movie, but their beliefs were supported by other people who claimed they had seen the movie. And so you see how the defense happens. Willing to double down, willing to sell out completely to defend this belief system. Using doublespeak, telling somebody else that they're being manipulated at the same time. That they're being manipulated. And it's, you know, it's crushing to watch it happen because we are at a point in time right now where things at different days feel hopeless. You know, I've talked about it many times here. There are days it feels hopeless. And we're struggling to make sense of what's happening. And, you know, the despair is real. And so the way that some people deal with that right now is to try to find answers, to try and find something that they can control. Now, in the case of this Netflix movie, I mean, it's not a Netflix original, because I've seen people running out being like, I'm just going to cancel Netflix. Netflix just carries the film. They're not behind it. But once again, there's this belief, well, Netflix supports pedophilia. What is happening here? But in these cases, in these out of control times, people want something they can gravitate towards and feel like they can control. What's so easy to control? Well, hating pedophilia. Let's take a stance against this. Sure. Except in this case, it's not warranted and incorrect. Because you're not actually standing against anything that is for that. But you've been told that. There are people who want you to believe that. And so they are now fully bought in and subscribe to something, no matter how nonsensical and ridiculous it is. You know, look at the world around us. We still have people who deny that there's a pandemic. Or who look for any sort of reason whatsoever to spout BS about how it's not as bad as you think it is, even though they're not a doctor or a scientist. Or understand how science works either. There are people still running around complaining about masks. and why should we wear them? And I feel that they're ineffective, or I believe that they're part of some grand plot to control us. We know better. We know better. You know better. I hope there's no QAnon subscribers here to the podcast. But even if there are, let's say there's somebody tinkering with it. Somebody who's intrigued by it. This is your moment to question that and wonder why you would believe something so far-fetched, so nonsensical, so devoid of logic and reason. For what? You know, I didn't know that this large portion of the world, and it's the world at this point, was so susceptible to becoming part of a cult. You know, once upon a time, and I'll tell you this story really quickly, just to sort of give you my own brief experience, I guess. And I wasn't recruited for any sort of, like, hey, we have to wear yellow tennis shoes and we're going to drink this Kool-Aid and so on and so forth. But I remember going in for a job interview. I applied for something, and I called to come in. Went in, it was an entire room of people, which I thought was bizarre because I'd only, to that point, been in basically one-on-one interviews. And I was in, like, I think it was a summer, so it was maybe like for high school or like in between my college years. And I remember going in for this and sitting down for an entire presentation. And it was for Cutco. It's for Cutco Knives. And, you know, ultimately it's an MLM. You know, it's set up as it's a pyramid scheme of sorts. But the way that it was sort of discussed definitely set off red flags and alarms and warning signs that, like, this feels really culty. And we broke for lunch and they were going to have us come back, you know, and then let us know if we were going to be in it, in which case, you know, everybody was going to be in it. You know, and because they wanted you to pay money for, like, your starter kit. So, like, everybody was going to be in it. And that sort of, like, you know, threw up a warning sign. But I remember calling my mom. My mom had called, you know, to see how things were going. Was on lunch, called her back. She's like, how are things? And I was like, it's really strange here. And I think I'm going to leave. You know, and I need a job for the summer, so I'm trying to find something to do, make some money. And mom was like, well, okay then. Like, you know, just get out of there. Because I was like, yeah, it just doesn't feel right. Something about it just doesn't feel right. And I left. And it was probably the closest I've ever been to being recruited for a cult. So I made it away unscathed that time. And that stayed in my mind for a long, long time. Even to this day that I could recall this story. Recall this tale for you. And, you know, I believe that it's important that we question things. Anybody who knows me will tell you I am all about questioning authority. But questioning everything to the point where you are all in on things that don't make sense because somebody is giving you a confident answer about why it does, when what you experience, what you see, what you've heard, what you know should dictate otherwise. The cults are real. Trust yourself. Trust your knowledge. Trust your wisdom. Because what's out there right now is dangerous. And it's problematic. And it's concerning that people are being preyed on at a time where they're looking for answers, and the answers that they're being given are this. And there's a great segment you can find on YouTube, you know, which is the birthplace of conspiracy theory nonsense. But John Oliver did a great segment on Last Week Tonight, a few weeks back, dealing with conspiracy theories. If you want a little bit more knowledge about why they happen and how they work, how they infiltrate, I recommend checking that out. I'll try to post that on social media pages for you to give it a look. But just think with your head. Think with your mind. Think with your brain. Don't always just go on feeling. Because it's the feeling. That's how they get you. And on that, I'm going to call time. Lots of things to consider this week. I know it's a sort of weird direction, but I just some things going on in my head that I had to talk about and express with what I've encountered and run into in the just in the last few days leading up to this episode. The Vow, that's on HBO. You should check that out if you have HBO capabilities, HBO Max as well. I think it's like episode 4 or 5 right around now. So it's real interesting, though, if you want to, once again, see how cults operate. And, you know, if you want to check out the Netflix movie, that's Cuties. It is not child pornography. It is not glorifying pedophilia or anything like that. In fact, it is complete opposite. And just to be able to enter into the discourse with people who are factually inaccurate, may want to check that out so that you can bring some truth to their life. Okay, otherwise, you know, email address here at the podcast, that's gettingoldquicklypod@gmail.com. You can send me an email, comments, questions, feedback, whatever it is that you want to put in front of my eyes, I read all of it. gettingoldquicklypod@gmail.com. Podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, and so many others. You already know that. You're listening to the podcast right now. But the easiest way to get the podcast delivered to you is to subscribe. Podcasts, we drop every single Monday. That's when you get your new episodes. So if you subscribe, you don't have to go looking for it. It's hand-delivered to whatever podcast provider that you're all in on. Not in a cult-like way. But that you use regularly, that's your preference. So just subscribe. That makes it easier for you. So you don't have to go searching them out. And, you know, I think it's mostly just Apple Podcasts, but if you rate the podcast, that helps. So if I've earned 5 stars for my efforts throughout the weeks, then I will be grateful for you to drop 5 stars in that little box rating the podcast and review the podcast. If you can jot down a few words, preferably in sentence form, about what you dig about the podcast, why you think others may like to check it out. Do so that way as well. So, yeah, subscribe, rate, and review. And once again, we're available in all the places that podcasts are available. Social media on Twitter at Getting Old Quick, Facebook, facebook.com/Getting Old Quickly, and on Instagram at Getting Old Quickly. That's where we promote all the new episodes anyway, to give you some context of what they're about, and maybe give you some other new treats throughout the week related to whatever it is that you're listening to here on an episode in any given week. So do all that, and that's the best way to help share the podcast as well. Share, retweet, like, engage with the podcast. That's how you help us, by spreading word to your friends, to your family, to anybody you know. Once again, not in a cult-like way. So that they can maybe listen and check this out and take something away from whatever we're talking about, because maybe they have something that they need and what we talk about resonates with them or connects with them. And no, I'm not asking them to send me any sort of money. It's not a cult. We're not a cult. I'm never going to be a cult. We're not a cult. Okay. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to send you on your way. Lots to think about, though, so really think about it. And we'll see you back here next week. I'm Billy Donnelly. I'm getting old quickly. And remember, getting old doesn't suck. It just kind of happens.